Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
You know, one of the questions I get asked all the time is, what is the secret to a lasting, loving, successful marriage? And to be honest, most people actually think it is love. That it is, and that's almost always the answer that I get when I ask clients why they get married. I'm told, because we were in love. And, you know, I'm a big fan of love, and it certainly has its place in a happy marriage. But the reality is, the hard truth is that love is not enough. If it really were enough, the divorce rate wouldn't be so high, and many marriages that do last would be a whole lot happier. So, if it isn't love, what is it? My guest, fellow marriage and family therapist and life coach John Kim, is here to talk about what he's learned about the answer to this question. And John, thank you so much for coming back on the show and talking about this, because like I said, when I read your article, I went, oh my gosh, this is it.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I think it's an important conversation. So I appreciate you wanting to talk about this and shed some light.
So let's not keep anybody in suspense any longer. What have you found to be the most important factor in relationships, and why?
Yeah, you're right. I think most people, the default answer would be love, but I think it's the two R's. I think it's respect and resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
And I think respect is kind of the foundation, and I know we're going to talk about what respect means, but it's the soil to everything. And you know that saying that respect is earned or has to be earned?
Right.
In relationships, no. I think in relationships, it's a foundation. It's without it, there's no, like, a ticket to get on the plane to head toward love, you know?
Well, yeah, because if you think about, I mean, now if we take out, which is a hard thing to do, just take out the biological imperative that we have to procreate and that lust feeling that we get, you know, which everybody associates with love, which it's not the same thing, but that,
right,
you know, rip your clothes off, let's get to it kind of, you know, hot chemistry,
yeah,
which can be terribly misleading. But anything else, if we talk to people about what they love about their partner or their friends, there's always this element of respect.
Right.
And, you know, and I don't think people talk about it that much. And so when I read your definition, and I'm going to read it in just a minute, you know, when I'm reading this definition, because I've always had a real hard time with this, well, in great marriages, there's unconditional love. And I'm going, unconditional love is, I've always thought maybe if it exists, it's parent to child. And even there, right, I'm not sure it exists.
Right, right.
And I think we get caught up in that unconditional, that there's nothing that you can do that will ever, you know, bother me. But when I read your definition of respect, that's what struck me, is that this is what people are talking about.
You can't love someone unconditionally. Yeah, you can't love someone unconditionally if they don't have respect you.
Right. And I think that's where a lot of people get into trouble, is because, you know, they confuse those two. It's like, one of the things that people tell me when they stop loving their partner, it's because they stopped respecting them.
Yeah. And you know, when you stop respecting someone, it's not just love. It's like the chemistry changes. And what you were just talking about before, the lust, the, you know, tearing each other's clothes off. None of that happens if you don't respect the other person.
Especially, I'm wondering why we don't talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, then it's lined with guilt and shame, because you're feeling guilty that you're not, loving hard enough, or, you know, your piece of the relationship, et cetera. But that's why I think it really goes back to respecting soil that's going to produce love.
Right. And in the article, and by the way, this is on Psychology Today, and it's called The Most Important Factor in Relationships. And you talk about why this is important, and you talk about that respect leads to trust, mm-hmm. which leads to a safe space, which leads to a healthy relationship.
Sure. I think it's a process. And, yeah. and by the way, respect, it's not something that I think. I actually did a poll on Facebook, and it was 100-something people responded. You know, it was a very simple question, what's the most important factor in a relationship? And I thought it was going to be, you know, communication, all these other things, but
right.
it ended up being respect. Respect was the number one answer.
Right. And it is so important that I think people don't always recognize that. And you also point out that part the reason why you think it showed up is because it's what people didn't have in a relationship, and
right.
it's kind of like, you know, a need of deprivation, that I only know
yeah.
that it's necessary when I'm not getting it.
Right, exactly. And obviously them not getting it left some kind of imprint that was memorable, probably not positive.
Right.
And that's why they're saying that, you know what, it's respect now, it's respect. That's what I need. That's what I know.
So I want to read the definition that you put in the article because, like I said, it's the piece that grabbed me.
Mm-hmm.
So you said, respect means no one has power or authority over someone else. It means we don't have to agree with someone to love them. Respect means to give someone space to have their own opinions and journey. Love that one. Respect means to let go, accept, not judge, don't react, don't control, let
wow.
be, let grow. Yeah, I mean, I love this. And finally, you say, respect means to not place your definitions on someone else. It means to work on your own issues, and respect means to have your own safe life container. I mean,
wow.
it was like, this needs to go out to every person in the universe, John. I mean,
yeah, no,
seriously.
I'm just saying wow because it's so long, but I was trying to be thorough with the definition,
yeah.
you know.
Well, and I love this because this is where people get into trouble is, well,
yeah.
what happens? Because they get very uncomfortable when their partner doesn't agree with them.
Right, right. Because it means something about them. You know, like if I like red and you like blue, then I get uncomfortable because it means what's wrong with me.
Right.
Instead of respecting the fact that you like blue and that's okay.
Right, but it's just an is, you know, I
right.
need to look this up because I've said this before and I cannot remember who said this, but somebody said that if two people agree on everything, one of them isn't necessary. Which, again,
well,
I love.
One of them isn't
you know.
Being honest. That's
right.
True.
Well, yes, one of them definitely isn't being honest. But, and being able to let go and accept and not judge. I mean, these are all the things that if you list unconditional love, that's what people want.
Mm-hmm.
But it really comes down to respect. And so you were talking about that it goes into respect, trust, safe space. So is that why respect is so important?
Yeah, I think so imagine what you can try to build without it. So if there isn't respect and mm-hmm. there isn't a safe space, there isn't people being okay with your opinions, you know, so without respect, there's going to be control, and it might be very subtle. Without respect, there's going to be no room for you to be authentically you, you know. So then now there's room for codependency, there's room for meshment, there's room for two people kind of being one person instead of two unique individual people that are coming together to build something.
And there's also room for abuse, because this is almost when I read this. This is the classic definition of not being allowed to be yourself, have your own opinions, not being allowed to be your own person, and certainly not safety. There's absolutely no safety in abusive relationships,
right.
and
right.
you know, and I think it. You know, and I think that this is happens when people think about abuse, they think about physical abuse, and which is bad enough, but a lot of the abuse that goes on is emotional. I mean, I had a client years ago who he was verbally abusive to his wife, sometimes in my presence, which was like, mm-hmm. really, seriously. And I said to her one day when we were by ourselves, I said, the first time he called you a bitch, why was it okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and she said, well, it wasn't. I said, well, 12 years later, he's still doing it, so...
Right.
At some point in time, there was permission given.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't mean that she deserved it in any way, yeah.
Because if the person's like, well, you're okay with it when I called it to you the first time, why do you have a problem with it now?
Right. Because I've had people say this to me. It's like, well, if he or she hit me, I'd walk away. It's like, well, they're mm-hmm. verbally hitting you.
Yeah. I think the emotional abuse is more damaging. I think, mm-hmm. When you're being abused but you don't even know it or you're not even aware of it, I think that stuff is dangerous. It's like tear gas that's leaking that you're, the physical abuse is obvious, and that, I'm not saying that's less damaging, but because you're very aware of it, because it's obvious, there's these red flags that go up. But when there's emotional abuse or someone's assessing your character, there's so much room for us to minimize it or to ignore it, and it's like the poisonous gas we don't smell that's leaking.
Right, and I've actually done a lot of work with domestic violence, and the victims actually would tell me that they would actually rather be hit, because at least the bruises healed. The emotional abuse was the worst part.
Yeah,
And again, nobody deserves to be abused, but you talk about the people who'd responded to the survey and talked about that if they'd been in a relationship where respect was missing, that there was some kind of a compromise affecting them and their beliefs about themselves. And mm-hmm. you talk about, and I love this, you forget that respect isn't an option, that it's standard. It's like, but how do we get into this idea that it's not okay? I mean, is this just the slow drip of, a relationship? I mean, how do we figure this out?
Well, I think it always goes back to the relationship you have with yourself. And I think that if you are in a relationship where you are disrespected and you know that you are, but you're still with the person, that says something about the relationship you have with yourself. That says something about what you believe you deserve and what you're willing to compromise on. Ooh. And so relationships are, of course, about compromise, but they're never about compromising self.
Yeah, I like to talk about relationships being about negotiation, not necessarily about compromise.
Right, sure.
Because and I get really hung up on specific words, because for me, words have meaning. And we tell people, it's mm-hmm. like, well, you give up something, I give up something, we'll meet somewhere in the middle. But sometimes you can't. But we're supposed to. We're told that. That's what the experts say. Relationships require compromise. But they, like you said, they don't necessarily talk about what compromises are okay. What we're having for dinner, okay, that might be okay as long as I'm not allergic to it.
Yeah.
But some of these other things, there is no compromise on.
Yeah, and that goes to, the core. I mean, yeah, you could compromise on, dinner and all these other things and, preferences on the core and whatever. But you can't compromise on things that have to do with your core and who you are. You can't compromise on someone assassinating your character or, not creating a safe space for you to thrive. If someone's not championing your story, what's the point of being in building something with someone? Because they're so hard. Relationships are so hard.
Well, yeah, they're challenging under the best of circumstances. And so, one of the things is difficult for people to understand that even though falling in love, starting off a relationship can be easy, it's what happens when you run into those differences. When it's like, I'm not quite sure about what this means, but there may not necessarily be a mechanism to talk about that. And I think that's what you talk about having the safe space and being able to feel safe enough to share, hey, I'm a little worried about this, or something you said last week is sticking with me and I'm wondering if I could get some more information versus, mm-hmm. I got to keep my mouth shut because if I open my mouth, they won't like it and they're going to leave.
Right. So, but that has to do with one's own fear of being abandoned or whatever. So the other piece of this is sticking up for yourself and demanding the respect. A lot of people just expect the other person to give them respect, and if they don't, then that's okay. You actually have to demand it. you know, not ask for it, but demand it. This is where I draw the line. If you're not respecting me, then I'm not, that I can't be with you.
Right, and then that brings into the whole conversation boundaries, which I want to hold off on because that's really an important thing and also can be challenging for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So this is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking with fellow marriage and family therapist and coach John Kim about the most important factor for a successful relationship. And if respect or love has gone missing in your relationship, then you really know deep down your relationship's in trouble. But it doesn't have to be that way. It can be turned around, but not if you keep doing the same old thing. So if you're ready to have a better relationship, and if you're really ready to do something different, then I invite you to take action now. Give me a call or shoot me an email and take advantage of my free, no obligation, Create Your Happily Ever After Marriage strategy session. You can reach me at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's FOUNDATIONS coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie.com, or you can give me a call at 919-924-0463. Now I want to get back to this conversation about boundaries, because boundaries really are about respect.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, I say to you, this is not okay, and you will either accept that, or you're going to push back on me because you
right.
don't necessarily like that I've said this is not okay. And therein is where the problem starts, because what I do next will tell you whether or not I'm serious.
Yeah. Or also will tell whether or not you're self-aware, or if you have emotional intelligence, or you have capacity, you know, all those things, where you're at in your journey.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, and people think about boundaries as, when I talk about them, people go, oh, I can't do that, the other person will be upset. And I said, well, first off, that's their problem, not yours. And second off, that's not the purpose. The boundaries are for you. It's to protect you. It's not, you're not doing something to somebody else. I mean, it's sort of like, I ask people, I said, well, do you lock your car? And they'll say yes. I said, well, that's a boundary, because you're telling them,
right.
you're telling the world, this is my car. I want it to be here when I come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody seems to think, you know, I'm not doing something to somebody who wants to drive my car.
Right. You know, going back to this idea of having a safe container,
mm-hmm.
I think that boundaries create that safe container, and whenever your boundaries are blurry, or when you're drawing your boundaries in chalk instead of Sharpie, you're allowing that container to crack or put cracks in it, and that's always going to stunt your growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what we're talking about, relationships, addiction, whatever. But if you're able to draw boundaries and you're able to create a safe space for yourself, then growth is organic, you know. And I think that the reason why we can't draw boundaries, or we don't, is because it all comes down to our belief in what we're worth, you know. And I think we compromise who we are and what we're worth because a lot of times we don't believe that we deserve, or we'll just take what we can get, you know, all that stuff.
Right. I get a lot of, well, I'd rather be with this person than by myself, which is like, okay, please explain right. that, because they're really being awful to you. Or, you know, I have, you know, well, they're male and breathing. And it's like, well, okay, if that's your standard, then,
right. Right.
You know, then that's what you're going to get. And it's hard. And it's hard to work through this, because this isn't something we learn in school. It's not.
Yeah.
Nobody gives us a class on love and respect. I think they should. But
yeah, of course, high school for sure. I think all this stuff is a practice, and that's the other thing is, you don't just one day, if you're not used to drawing boundaries, you don't just one day wake up and you're drawing boundaries left and right. You have to,
right.
you know, start, it's heavy lifting. You got to start slow and light, and then work yourself up to have the ability to say no. And you know what's really difficult is when you actually like the person. So when you're actually attracted to the person, when the,
uh-huh.
you know, the person moves you, that's it's because then you don't want to mess that up. So you're allowing more room for, you know, compromising self, and it's hard to draw boundaries.
Yeah, my poor daughter used to get this all the time, because you know, is doing what I do for a living, I would tell her, I said, if somebody ever says to you, if you love me, you'll do this, whatever, fill in the blank, I said, your response is, if you loved me, you wouldn't ask.
I mean,
you know, because that's where it starts, because it's like, oh, well, you know, how do I stand in my own self and still be connected to this person that I care about? Because, again, that's scary. I might say something they don't like.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is going to happen if you're with anybody for any length of time.
Right. And, what does it mean if someone doesn't like you? And that's kind of, for most people, it means everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
it shouldn't. Well, because they don't necessarily think it's about the other person. I mean, what was that book? He's just not that into you. You know, or it's about me, not you. And in most cases, it really is about the other person, because if you have to change who you are to be with them, it's not going to last anyway.
Yeah.
Because we can't maintain that. But I want to ask, because first, how are there ways that somebody can tell if respect is present in their relationship? And if it isn't, is there a way to get it back?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest red flags, or to know that maybe you're not being respected or there isn't respect in a relationship, is if you start to feel unsafe. I think that's the first. So whatever reason why. So if you're feeling unsafe because, I don't know, they're acting inappropriate with other women or men, or they are, mm-hmm. you know, doing something or not, you know, maybe they're hiding you or whatever it is. If you're feeling unsafe, then it might be, there's a high chance it's tied to respect, meaning there's respect lacking. And how do you get it back? You ask for it. you demand it. Like, I know it sounds simple, but you do. It's not like you don't leave hints. You don't, you know, compromise on it. You say, I wouldn't say that you are not respecting me, because you're going to get a pushback, you're going to get defense. I
of
would
course,
say that
right.
I'm feeling disrespected. I'm curious why. I don't know how much of that is me and how much of that is you, but I'm feeling disrespected. And so if they care about you, they're going to care about that, and they're going to, you know, start exploring, what am I doing to make you feel disrespected? And then as a couple, if you guys explore that, then you guys can, you know, build and earn each other's respect together, you know, and it can be a positive thing.
Right, because, you know, sometimes we will find out things about our partner, or, even about myself, where I've done something that I'm not particularly proud of, and I don't necessarily want my partner to know about it because it can change their view of me. But then I'm living in fear all the time of,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, what if this person finds out, or.
Right.
You know, and again, I think it's creating that sense of inauthenticity, that hiding, that I'm a chameleon, or I'm not really being true to myself. And I know a lot of people think this whole authenticity kind of thing is too woo-woo, touchy-feely, mumbo-jumbo kind of stuff, but you know, if we think about the people who we really admire, they're usually people who are comfortable in their own skin. And it's not that they don't care what other people think, but they care more about being who they are. And if you like them, great. And if you don't, that's okay too.
Right.
I'm just curious, how do we get to be those people?
It's that connection with yourself. It's the relationship with self. I really think this is an inside-out process, not an outside-in, you know. And that's a journey. I mean, I'm 44, and I, you know, finally kind of like myself. And it took years, you know. I was definitely the person who cared what everyone thought about, who was seeking validation and approval, always exchanging my truth for membership. And I no longer do that. I don't care. I mean, here's the other thing. If everyone likes you, then no one likes you. So, like, you have
That's
to have people that don't like. Yeah, you have to have people that don't like you to know that there are some people then who love you. You know, whatever you're doing or who you are, etc.
Right, because there are some people you don't want to be around because there's something about them that you don't care for. So it's actually okay for somebody to feel that way about you. Of course, the challenge is that we all think we're terrific. And it's those people, however we want to define, you know, those people over there who aren't anything like me. And then, of course, that also brings up the whole idea of that there's actually something about those people that you see in yourself that you don't like, so it's better to stick it on them instead of look at ourselves. Because one something you said a little bit ago, which I thought was really important, and I want to go back to, and it's this idea, and it's the what's behind the people pleasers, the people who just can't ever seem to plant their own flag in the ground.
Yeah.
Is that they're actually looking outside themselves to fill a hole that's in themselves.
Sure. Yeah, I think we do a lot of that. We fill holes with that, but also we fill holes with food. We fill our holes with work. We fill our holes with a lot of stuff.
Right, and it's easier to go there than it is to deal with these painful and emotionally painful areas. But that's really the only place that we have to make our lives better. Because, yes, there are certain things that obviously we need a certain amount of food, clothing, shelter to be just to be able to survive. But after that, everything else really is what we create inside. And so when people are out looking for, you know, the, you know, prince on the white horse who's going to come and take them away, or the, you know, the beautiful girl who, once I just find the right girl, everything will fall into place seamlessly, that's that externalization. And on some level, we'll attract that prince or that princess when we're honest with who we are about ourselves.
Right, right.
As opposed to, yeah, okay, come rescue me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also when you are, you know, I talk a lot about attracting versus chasing. And I think that when you're seeking approval, validation, when you are exchanging your truth for membership, you're in a chasing state, not in an attracting state, which is always, the chasing state is always what will make you powerless, and attracting will always make you feel power-filled.
Yeah, so any advice, because I know this is what you and I do, and, you know, when I work with couples, I basically say, okay, you need to focus on you, and your partner needs to focus on them, and stop looking at each other, because that's not where the answer is. But it's so easy, because I've got a built-in scapegoat, and if it's my partner, then I'm off the hook. But what are some ways that people can start this journey? Because it's really scary. I mean, some people look at this and it's kind of like the person who needs to lose 100 pounds.
Right.
That's
right.
Overwhelming. It's like, oh my gosh. But it's just like, okay, let's just work on walking an extra 10 steps.
I think the first step is to turn your dial to curiosity instead of judgment or blame. Because what's going to happen is if you realize you're in a relationship that is abusive or disrespectful, et cetera, there's going to be this panic, and there's going to be a lot of shame and judgment. You're going to put the gun on you. So when you turn your dial to curiosity, then you'll start asking why questions. And I think that softens the blow. So, you know, first take a black light to your relationship and ask yourself if you're feeling unsafe. And if you're feeling unsafe, then you start asking yourself get very curious about it. So instead of blaming or hating or judging, start asking yourself why you're feeling unsafe and where it's coming from, because maybe some of it's you, you know, maybe it's not the other person. So I think that starts the process, you know.
And I think that's an important point, because one of the things that I hear all the time, and being unsafe, people think about being physically unsafe, and they'll go, oh, well, I'm not afraid my partner's ever going to physically hurt me. But I think if you ever have this thought run through your head, it's the beginning of being unsafe. And that thought is, I can't tell my partner that. Or I'm afraid to tell my partner that.
Right.
Whatever that might be. And to me, that's a big, okay, I don't feel safe enough in this relationship to share that with my partner. And then that's, I think, a good place to look at.
Sure. Absolutely.
Where to go. Well, I can't believe that this time has passed so fast, because I love talking to you. And again,
thank you.
So, John, tell people where they can find out more about
me and what I do.
Yeah, you write a lot, and you write a lot of really good stuff, you know. And, you know, it's like the number one important relationship skill, the most important factor in a relationship, all these things that people want the answers to, and you put it out very clearly. So where can they find you?
On Instagram, The Angry Therapist. You can find me on my website, theangrytherapist.com, or also our company, Shift. So it's shft.us. And there you could find articles, and you could find one-on-one coaching, whatever you need, tribes. It's kind of a wellness platform for anything that you're going through. So.
Well, and again, I think it's all great. And, you know, as I've said before, I've always struggled with this concept of unconditional love. But now I recognize it as respect. And so it makes it much easier for me to wrap my head around it. To me, this unconditional, it's like I just don't see that. But respect is, to me, so clear. And I think if people can focus on the respect part, then it's going to make it a lot easier. And so to be honest, if there isn't respect in your relationship, the love is actually in a lot of danger. And the place, as John says, the place that respect starts is with you. So if you don't require it, not ask for it, but require it, who will? So go check out John's stuff. Keep listening. And until next week, stay loving.